a discussion about some of the top stories being talked about in the Marine Corps. Today, January 30th, 2023. Good morning, Early Birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. For today's episode, I talked with the team at Marine Corps Times, editor Andrea Scott and reporter Irene Lowenson, about some of their recent coverage and what's ahead for the Marine Corps.
Irene and Andrea, thank you both for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for having us, Jonathan.
So I want to jump right into it. We recently did a number of stories on what's new for the Marine Corps in 2023. What are maybe one or two of the stories that really stuck out to you that you think Marines should be aware of this coming year?
Yeah, just to give a little background, for our print and online publication of Marine Corps Times, we do new in whatever year it is. So obviously it's 2023. There's a lot of changes coming to the Marine Corps. I will say in my 6 years at this publication, these are some of the biggest top level changes we've seen in a long time, just with force design. And this year there's a new commandant, which I'm going to point out as my one of my top stories that Marines should look into this year. There's just a lot of bigger level stuff changing that will impact the individual Marines, but it's really affecting the entire Marine Corps. So first of all, that being a new commandant this year, we've had General David Berger, who's brought up force design. That's kind of his brainchild and what he's put into action. And this year we'll have a new commandant, a new Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, and new top leadership over at Headquarters Marine Corps at the Pentagon. So Berger came in and force design was, like I said, his baby, and he's really transforming the Corps ways that he sees are for the better. But will the new commandant, continue that trajectory? Will it look exactly the same? Will there be a new direction that the Marine Corps goes? We'll figure that out sometime this year. We're going to be keeping a close eye on who that might be and when they're announced. So that's one of the biggest stories that I saw.
Andrea, I'm glad you brought up Force Design 2030. I think that is certainly the overarching change that's going on in the Marine Corps. That's not new in 2023, obviously, but it continues to be the driving force behind a lot of the changes that we're seeing this year in the Corps. My guess is that the new commandant is going to continue to buy into force design changes, in part because some of them are already in practice, and so it would be expensive to go back, expensive and also costly in terms of effort. I think General Berger himself has said that most or maybe all of the Marine Corps leadership is pretty much on board. So at least in his view, the new commandant is going to carry on force design plans. One big force design 2030 change in 2023 is that for the first time, a Marine Littoral Regiment is going to reach initial operational capability. Then that's set for the end of September 2023. A Marine Littoral Regiment is one way that the Marine Corps is looking to reorganize its structure. So it's a unit that is going to be within striking distance of China, which is considered to be the main potential enemy that's driving the force design changes. And they're redesignating the 3rd Marine Regiment, which is more infantry focused, to a littoral regiment, which is a bit more aligned with the force design's emphasis on amphibious operations, thus littoral, which means shore-based. It's supposed to be the tip of the spear for Force Design 2030, according to the Secretary of the Navy. Another big change or big development is that the Marine Corps is getting a lot more of the King Stallion helicopters, which are able to lift just an immense amount of weight. And part of the idea behind that is that it can help with logistics in moving around heavy equipment, moving around even light armored vehicles in the Pacific as you have to bring stuff over long distances.
And I would say too, the second one I would mention, this force design changes are sweeping and they will affect the individual Marine. But for you guys listening at home who are like, okay, like that's cool, but I'm not, on the helicopters or I don't care about force design. I do what my commanders tell me. Good for you. Well, here's an interesting one, and is that the tape test is no more. So the Marine Corps is finally moving away from the tape test. You know, the days of trying to gain muscles in your neck so that you can have more breath on your stomach may be over.
Yeah, so Marines and the Marine Corps are moving away from the tape test. And actually now what's going to happen is that for Marines who are not meeting specific height and weight requirements, they're going to take part in these kind of x-ray high-tech machines to help scan them as a further check before they would eventually have to potentially be added to this body composition program, which, you know, helps Marines manage their weight and potentially separates them if they're not meeting standards. But it is a major move for the Marine Corps, who's, of course, been using this tape test standard, like you said, Andrea, for quite a long time.
It'll be more accurate, but it's also thinking about gender, you know, specific differences, which I think is big for the Marine Corps in 2023.
We've been talking a lot about force design, and I did want to ask you both directly. There have been a few op-eds from Marine Corps generals and other leaders about Force Design 2030 and basically concern over what it could do to divide the future of the force. So I'll start with you, Andrea. For folks who are not familiar with Force Design 2030, can you maybe give us a recap and then also maybe share why some folks are skeptical about it coming into place?
Force Design is a massive overhaul of the Marine Corps. It's taking the focus away a little bit, well, a lot of it, from the traditional, the MAGTAF, the Marine Air Ground Task Force of the Marine Corps. And like Irene said, it's creating these whole new units, this whole new way that it's dividing its Marines and its troops, which we now have the Marine Littoral Regiment. And it's basically bringing the Marine Corps, as the Commandant, you know, would argue, back to its traditional roots, which is the sea and supporting the Navy and supporting the Joint Force. So a lot of the Marines that are in now, that's kind of what they grew up with, this ground fighting in the Middle East. And now there's more a focus on ships and a focus on missiles and long range fires, which is a totally different mindset than a lot of these retired Marines were fighting in, you know, in the past few decades. So I don't really think we need to get into the controversy too much, but I think basically, you know, there's these former Marine commanders and high-level generals who are coming out and saying, we don't like what is happening. We don't necessarily see the data to support it. Meanwhile, we have the Marine Corps saying, this is what we're doing and why. So it's been a bit messy. You have, like, Marines want to do what they're told, but they also, you know, want to see and feel confident in the way that the Marine Corps is going. And we're seeing a mix, you know, from Marines and from retired Marines. And some of it's valid and some of it isn't. So that's kind of, I guess, the groundwork for why you're seeing.
Kind of moving off force design, but still connected. There's a sister document that just came out last week, and it has to do with training and education for the Marine Corps come 2030. Hopefully here we can play a little clip of what it sounded like from the meeting last week.
What would you say prompted the update in the document regarding the water survival training program, and what can Marines expect in terms of an update to standards?
So a variety of things. I think everyone is aware of the incident that happened July of 2020, the Amtrak, where we had several fatalities. We did a look at the entirety of the program, not just the underwater egress training, but just swimming as a whole. And what we have found through our analysis is that we need to get Marines more comfortable in the water. So if you're not comfortable in the water doing basic swimming, basic water survival, doing underwater egress training is going to be very challenging and very daunting. To use a word Colonel Farley just used. So what can Marines expect out of this? We're definitely going to have some more rigorous training, nothing unreasonable, and we will provide Marines the proper venues, the proper instruction, the proper progression, all the way from entry-level training into when they get into the Fleet Marine Force to ensure that they can survive in a maritime environment. One of the other drivers to this, though, is, you know, we spent many, many years, particularly the folks on this panel, fighting in the desert, where, I mean, there's not a lot of water in Iraq. There's not a lot of water in Afghanistan, save for some canals and some rivers and a few lakes. And obviously, we're shifting to the Pacific, where I mean, obviously, that you know, the water is king out there. So we want to make sure that Marines, when they get to the fleet, have a certain level of comfortability in the water, and as they move through the ranks, that we challenge them to become better swimmers and more comfortable in, let's say, an underwater egress training scenario. But you'll see some changes in the next six to 8 months. Critical to those changes, and it's in the document here, is we're going to do a very thorough review of all of our infrastructure that supports that. Swim tanks, underwater egress trainers, to make sure that those assets are available to Marines all over the globe when they need them.
And then I wanted to ask, what are some of the policy changes that really stood out to you, and why do you think an average Marine should care?
I should note that the person who really knows a lot about training and education 2030 is you, because you led the excellent coverage at Marine Corps Times of that document rollout. So I just wanted to acknowledge you and your reporting on that. And second, I think it's important to note with training and education 2030 that it's not existing in a vacuum. This isn't the Marine Corps thinking, oh, well, by the way, we might as well just revamp our training and education policies. It's in support of force design, and it's in support of talent management 2030, which is a way of retaining more skilled Marines. And that itself is in support of force design. So all of these things are connected. And I think it's important to think of all of the 2030s as kind of a bundle of plans. One of the most interesting pieces for me of the document, and I think will be interesting to Marines, is the emphasis on more seats at ongoing education programs. So airborne school, more seats for enlisted Marines, more seats at schools that will allow them to commission as officers. I mean, that's a really big deal. And I think that could help retention if people feel like they have an ability to gain new skills and really progress in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, I would just say that kind of some of the tactical level interesting ones. The Marine Corps, especially now that it's looking back to the sea, we've kind of in our reporting been wondering, okay, so what does that mean for individual Marines and their swimming levels? And they came out on this document and said, get ready, get ready for some more rigorous swimming standards, more rigorous swimming training. We don't know exactly what that will look like yet. This document is kind of a blueprint of different things that the Marine Corps is looking into or pilot programs that have already started. What we've seen from like the force design blueprint and the talent and management blueprint is most of them ended up coming to fruition. You know, I would guess that a lot of these plans are already in the works. But what we know from this document is they're looking at Marine Corps swimming standards, and the individual Marine can expect more swimming soon. Another one that is interesting is just looking at the different training ranges, bases, and where the Marine Corps has to really get ready for this, force design, Russia-China fight we're talking about. And one that we haven't really heard before is the Marine Corps is now looking at Alaska and maybe other similar places to do more of its mountainous cold weather warfare training, kind of getting the sense from a round table that Bridgeport might not be enough, Bridgeport in California. So they're looking at Alaska. They're looking at a pilot program of the, is it the Advanced Rifle Course? And just looking at Marine ranges and training in general. So there will be an overhaul of that, but we're still waiting to see exactly what that would look like and exactly what the Marine Corps decides on.
One thing that stood out to me from the document is how much is still up in the air with training and education 2030. The first part of the document was basically we need some more new doctrine related to training and education. And a lot of it was, let's explore this, let's consider that. And it seemed like there's still plenty that's up in the air with this TE 2030 plan.
So Irene, I know that you recently, we'll end on this, recently traveled to North Carolina for a very interesting Marine Corps related case. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about that?
I was covering the trial of what's known as the MARSOC 3. Actually, it was two members of the MARSOC 3, two Marines. So this is a pretty high profile and also fairly controversial case. It all began on New Year's Day 2019. In the early morning, some service members and military contractors were out partying at a bar in Iraq, which, just to be clear, they were not allowed to be drinking at that point, and it seems like they may have been drinking. So that's been one element of this case. But two Marine special operators and a Navy corpsman got involved in an altercation with a retired Army Green Beret. And the Army veteran, who is a military contractor at the time, died a few days later. It seems likely that it was from injuries related to the fight, although the defense has questioned that at the trial. And now, 4 years later, the two Marine raiders are on trial for their involvement in the fight and for perhaps not getting the Army veteran to medical care quickly enough. So it's been controversial because people who are defending the Marine special operators say that they're basically scapegoats, that they were acting in self-defense and they shouldn't have to suffer consequences for what was really just them doing the best they could under the circumstances to repel someone who was being aggressive. And then on the other hand, the prosecution says these guys shouldn't have been drinking. They got into a violent fight and this person died as a result of it. So it's a hard trial because this happened 4 years ago and there is security footage, but especially the footage of the fight is really grainy. So the information at this trial is so imperfect. And so it'll be interesting to see what the members of the jury decide. I mean, it's worth noting that six of them are Marine raiders from what I can tell.
No, that's very interesting. And we will definitely have to continue keeping our eye on the case. Andrea and Irene, I want to thank you both very much for joining me. Hopefully you can come back soon. There's a lot happening in the Marine Corps.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Jonathan. So glad to be here.
That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. If you liked what you heard, give us a like wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimon Z. Perez. If you liked our conversation today, be sure to check out the various stories we referenced at MarineCorpsTimes.com. Also, please rate us and be sure to leave a comment on whatever platform you use. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruce. Have a great day.